Hello and welcome to Publish Me, a monthly podcast series from the AS21 Podcast Network, where we explore the publishing process of the fantasy epic, The Will of the Magi. I'm your host, Keith F. Shovlin, publisher of AS21 Media. Here to join me as always is...
Hello everyone, I am Paul Dickinson Russell as always. I hope you're all enjoying your summer.
Unfortunately, we are without our designer, Bronna Gaynor, this month. She's feeling a little under the weather, but we do welcome back regular guest...
Ori Parker, Editor-in-Chief of AS21, here to pester you again.
Yay!
Yay! You never pester us, Corey. Never, ever.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So it's a boys-only gathering today, but that's okay, as we dive into Chapter 1 of The World of Magi for a live cold reading for you today. Special for you listeners of the Publish Me podcast. But first, it is June 2018. This is chapter 39 of the Publish Me podcast.
Will we make as many chapters of this podcast as I have chapters in the book?
Getting close.
Yeah, we're getting there.
we're getting close.
So it is June 2018. May was a busy month for us. Why don't we start with you, Paul and Corey? How was May for you guys as far as the editing of The Will of the Magi?
Editing's going along well. Corey got me a couple more chapters, and I sent those right back to him a day or two ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. We're passing chapters back and forth, you know, like a tennis match. So it's working out fairly well, I think.
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, these early chapters are not too difficult. You know, they've been polished a lot. And once we hit chapter like 43, maybe a little more work involved, but we'll cross that road when we come to it.
Yeah, okay. Cool. And of course, in May, we had the Gaithersburg Book Festival. We also had a couple other events for AS21 creative Michael B. Judkins, including a poetry reading at Duende District in their pop-up location at the Torpedo Factory in Old Town Alexandria, which Corey came out to with his wife and their dog, who became poetry. What was the hashtag? Poetry dog?
Poetry dog.
Yes. They're cute puppy muggles sitting outside of the bookstore. It got some Instagram love.
Puppies are always good for the Instagram love.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, he didn't interrupt the readings,
which was fantastic. Although the one poet did ask, you know, stop her as she was beginning her reading to talk, ask about the dog. So video of that reading is available now on the AS21 YouTube channel and video.as21.com, as well as some of, you know, our Instagram feed to see some of the pictures from our event at Duende District and the previous day at the Gaithersburg Book Festival, which was unfortunately another cold, wet, slightly miserable day in Gaithersburg. They really got to figure out the weather up there.
Yeah. Seems like it's always rainy and cold and windy.
Yeah. Last year, the rainy and cold seemed to have come early in the day, and then mm-hmm. it got better. But 2 years ago, it was cold and wet the whole day. This year, it was cold and wet the whole day. The first year we went, when Corey and his wife Brittany couldn't make it, it was hot and sunny the whole day. So you can draw your own conclusions there, people.
Corey is actually a male version of Storm.
Yeah, I don't think so, but okay.
That one alone.
All right. So for this month's episode, we are going to be doing a live reading of Chapter 1 of The Will of the Magi. The entire book should be out, hopefully, by this fall. For those that have supported the Indiegogo campaign, sometime in the next month, we'll be sending out to you the first 5 chapters of The Will of the Magi as an ebook, as a token of gratitude for your support of the campaign, and to let you know that progress is continuing and the book will be coming soon. Now, before we get into the reading, unless anybody else has any other news from the month of May that they want to cover... Anything else in the news they were to talk about? I mean, we didn't have any issues where any authors were calling out their cover artists this past week. We did have a journalist who was killed, but no, he wasn't. A literary agent that bilked all of his clients of over $3.4 million, including putting Chuck Palahniuk into dire straits. So,
oof.
Yeah, watch who has your control of your money, people.
Well, I will say, for those who are interested in horror stuff, there is a horror novella contest wrapping up in 2 weeks on the 15th. So that's the best I got.
Sure.
Also, the World Fantasy Convention, I believe, is this weekend or next in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, I think it's next week.
Next weekend, yeah.
I know Book Expo was this past week in New York. A lot of big announcements coming out of there. Okay, so with that, let's get to the reading. But first, a message from our sponsor. Listeners to this and other podcasts of the A20 podcast series are eligible to get a free audiobook from Audible. Just sign up today at audibletrial.com/A21 and choose from one of 180,000 titles and then take it with you anywhere. Listen to it on your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, your computer, anywhere you can listen to audio files, you can listen to an audiobook. And once you get your free audiobook from Audible, it is yours to keep forever. This past week, I was reading David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell, and next up, I've got A Wrinkle in Time by Margaret Lengel. Paul, what are you reading?
I just finished reading Jonathan Mueller's latest book in his Thief Cloak series. I got it Friday night, and I read it twice over the day Saturday.
Wow.
I tend to devour his books. They also tend to have reading times measured in 6 to 8 hours, and I read it in less than 2 each time.
Wow. Jeez.
Well, again, I've timed myself and worked out my speed reading rate, which is roughly 750 words a minute.
Wow.
For those of you listening who don't know, the average American reads at a rate of 200 words a minute.
Okay.
Fun times there.
Corey, you've been listening to any audiobooks lately?
We started The Prestige a while ago, but I haven't really listened to it in the past couple of weeks.
Okay.
Me, I've just been reading regular books.
Okay. All right, well, for those that like audiobooks like I do, I know I would love to have more time to sit down and read, but between my commutes and various walking and everything, it's just better for me to listen to an audiobook rather than have a book in my face. Trust me, it's a lot harder to walk around if you have a book right in front of you, but... But you can sign up today for Audible for free for your first month. Get your first audiobook for free. Choose from 180,000 titles. Just go to audibletrial.com/AS21. Do it today. Stick with the service or not, that first audiobook you get is for yours forever. So try it out today. I'm sure you'll love it. This episode is also brought to you by Word to Kindle. That is Word-2, as in the number 2, -Kindle.com. Ebook conversion services starting for only $49. 48-hour delivery. Unlimited revisions. Get accepted to Amazon fast. They work with the Kindle, Smashwords, Kobo, iBooks, and CreateSpace. They've converted thousands of ebooks since 2013, and yours could be next. Go to Word-2-Kindle.com today and get your ebook out there in the world. Okay, now it's time to get into Chapter 1 of The Will of the Magi. All right, Paul, you will be our humble narrator as the author, so it is up to you to assign the characters to me and Corey.
So, in going through Chapter 1, I believe I only have 3 characters that actually have speaking roles in this chapter.
Okay.
The primary one, obviously, is my main character, Aiden. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll just assign Aiden straight to you, Keith.
Okay. And and he's a young boy in this, right?
Young 14. Teenage boy. 14, 15, that range.
Okay. Is there any particular accent you want me to try to affect for him?
Realistically, I would say picture him as more of a backwoodsy country boy, but he's as well educated as someone in that area can be.
Okay.
So however you choose to interpret that, I'll leave that to your discretion.
Okay. Feel free to tell me if I'm just way off.
That's not how I imagined him at all. Yes. You're a villain.
You've destroyed my childhood.
Yeah. Corey, for you, I would say you'd get the other 2 characters.
The farmer and the...
Yes, the farmer, alien, and the blacksmith. Let me just double-check my pronunciation on this one.
Archer,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I will say, you know, I have spent a long time trying to pronounce these names, and I only recognize myself, you know, I know I am probably going to give everyone who's listening several different pronunciations of these names as I'm doing this. So anyone who has any complaints, take it up with the author. Oh, wait, that's me. So if you have any complaints about how I pronounce the names, I don't care.
You're the author.
Exactly. My world, my characters, my decisions.
Yes. And just because they may be pronounced a certain way in certain languages, this is a fantasy world. So it's pretty much up to you how you pronounce these names.
Basically, it works out very well that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are God, you get to do whatever you want.
Yes. When someone asks if you are God, you say yes.
You know, some fantasy books have pronunciation guides, and I never look at those because I just pick what works for me in my head and go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, on a quick side note, when I read the Wheel of Time books, you know, many times, I love reading them, and I never looked at the pronunciation guides,
mm-hmm.
but listening to the audiobooks, again, you know, which I do fairly frequently as well, thanks to Audible, listening to the people who they have doing those audiobooks, I'm like, oh, so that's how you say it. I've been doing it wrong. It's like, oh, I got that one right. Yes. Anyway. So let's dive on in, I guess.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty, so this is The Will of the Magi, as written by Paul Dickinson Russell, narrated by Paul Dickinson Russell, with characters performed by Keith F. Shovlin and Corey Parker. Chapter 1. Aiden leaned against the wall of the house that lay on the outmost part of his village, watching the villagers begin to wake up and leave their homes to begin the day. He had been up all night, entering into a meditative state, slowly grasping power from within the earth, pulling deeply and feeding it outward over the dreamscape of his mind. The growing warmth of the sun on his back had slowly brought him out of the dreamscape, allowing him these precious moments to oversee his home and people. Home was a simple place, a small village that did not really have a name, that was only a small point on the maps of nobility and magi. A place to collect taxes, food, and soldiers from, and then otherwise ignored. But to Aiden, it was a precious place, as anyone's home should be. Aiden turned around and walked toward the fields where villagers raised what crops they could. For the past several years, he had joined the men and women in these fields, learning how to help plant crops, how to anticipate the weather, and how to keep out the unwanted plants and pests that could savage and ravage a harvest. A gentle breeze flowed around him, bringing with it the warm scents of spring, the pull of the moist earth after a gentle rain 2 days past, and the yearning for physical work. A single breath was all it took as Aiden embraced his power, allowing the purity of power to flow through him and out of him, cascading down into the earth. Today was the single day out of all 8 days in the week that he allowed himself to use his power to help him with his tasks. Power spread out beneath him, warming the earth, but staying away from the many thousands of seeds that had been planted in the previous week.
Well, are you ready for the day, lad?
A rough voice pushed gently against Aiden, reminding him of his duty and helping him step away from the allure of immersing himself in his power. Glancing back as his mind returned to his own body, Aiden smiled as Aelin and a score of men who were with him, watching what Aiden would do.
I'm always ready, sir. Just tell me what fields you want plowed, and they will be.
Aelin nodded and pointed to the right.
The far fields is where I was planning on working us today. If we hurry, we can have them planted and seeded today with your help.
Aiden nodded.
The ground is still wet from the rains 2 days past. Should we water them again?
Aelin chuckled.
You're as swift as that power in your mind, boy. One thought in action at a time, lad. First, we will plow the fields, then we will plant. Once we have accomplished that, we will talk about water.
Aiden nodded, then focused his mind and will onto his power, centering on his power and concentrating it on those five fields. Each of the fields was enclosed with lines of stone to help Aiden distinguish one field from the other. These five were the farthest from the village and had rarely been used before Aiden had begun helping everyone out. 7 days out of the week, Aiden did not use his power in any of his tasks when he was helping the villagers. In the village or in the field, it strengthened his body and gave him a solid sense of the amount of work that went into everything in the village. But on the eighth day, Aiden dipped into the vast well of power that was his and used it to help out where his power could make a difference. Aiden smiled at the sensation of his power flowing through him as he began to shape it, finding the links and similarities between fire and earth. Fire and earth had few links, but those few links were all he needed. All four of the major elements were links, in one way or another. It just took a skilled and discipled mind and will to figure them out and to use them to one's advantage. Five pits of fire formed in Aiden's mind, slowly pushing upward, slowly swelling with his power and slowly being shaped by his will. It was tempting to let the fire swell on its own accord, but fire, without control, burned all in its path. A wildfire ravaged the landscape and left nothing but death in its wake. A controlled fire warmed the body and soul, allowing a man to rest in comfort and peace, if only for a moment. Aiden expanded each of the pits, allowing them to form rows and paths beneath the soil, slowly allowing each to press upward with gentle yet unyielding force. Fire began to burst upward out of the ground, leaping into the air before disappearing with a flare. Aiden relaxed, smiling to himself as he felt the fields settle into place. Then fire erupted out of the fields as if a wildfire burned beneath the earth. Aiden gasped, almost losing control of his magic. Lashing his will to his magic, he refocused the magical energy, slowly diminishing the strength of the fire until it gently died down. In a handful of moments, the fields were done and ready for planting, although they were a lot drier than they should have been. The men were already moving, each clapping Aiden on the shoulders, congratulating him on another job well done. Aiden chuckled.
I'm glad you were here to assist us, lad.
He glanced out to the fields where other workers were already filling in several holes in the earth. Shaking his head, Aiden nodded back to the village.
But right now, your presence is requested at the smithy. Something about the fire is not producing enough heat.
Aiden sighed dramatically, glancing at the older man.
A man's work is never done, is it, sir?
Aiden sighed as well, his eyes twinkling.
A man's work is finally done when his kin honor his life and deeds as they give him back to the soil from whence he came, lad. That is the only moment when a man is truly finished with his work.
A brief laugh rose from both men, each knowing the type of life they had been born to in this world.
Now get going, boy. You do not want to keep Arjur waiting.
Nodding, Aiden raised his hand in farewell and hurried back into the village. He nodded greetings to everyone he passed, hurrying towards the village center where the blacksmith undoubtedly waited. Men and women scurried about the shop, shoving metal sheets, metal ingots, and finished pieces about, while others carried buckets of fresh water, mixed salt water in other buckets, prepared oils, and brought fresh firewood from piles as it was chopped. Azur was working on a sickle the moment Aiden entered the shop. Glancing towards the door, he turned back to the task at hand.
The fires are not hot enough, and the coals are not burning bright enough, boy. Those swords and spears are for the village,
he said, pointing to a small rack where a dozen swords and a score or so spearheads leaned against it.
See if you can work them properly.
Aiden nodded solemnly.
Yes, sir, I will see it done.
A singular grunt was all the answer he received. Once he had his back turned to Azur, Aiden grinned slightly. The blacksmith was a gloomy man, forever frowning and grumbling. Despite that, he was one of, if not the, most respected and well-liked men in the village. He gave freely of his time whenever it was asked of him, and despite his rough and gloomy exterior, the man was fast with a laugh and in good humor if his wives or daughters were present, the only ones who could get him to smile or laugh. Those women always made sure that he laughed as often as they could get him to. The only time they left him alone was when he was working with his tools and metals. He would get so involved with his work that he rarely noticed those around him, although Aiden hadn't seen the smith have to hold himself together after his daughter's antics at times while he was in the smithy. Their antics had cost him the scythe he had been working on, but he had not minded at all, the mirth in him lasting for the rest of the day. Aiden stood close to the fire, smiling at the memory as he breathed in deeply, taking in the feel of the flames and the coals. Concentrating his will took but a moment, and he focused on the essence of the flame at the heart of the forge, slowly feeding it and allowing it to grow hotter, not larger. Simultaneously, he used his hands to direct more power outward, finding the links between fire and air. Using the air to grasp a hold of the swords and spearheads, bringing them into the forge, allowing them to begin to warm enough to be reshaped and repurposed. Focusing on the heat, fire, and various metals, Aiden allowed the fire to reach its perfect peak temperature and the metals to reach their optimal liquid state. He had gotten rather skillful at feeling and understanding the various ways metals worked with heat and fire, the ways different kinds of wood could help or hinder the different metals, which materials went best together for different results. Arger had chosen the best woods for the forge at the moment, knowing that he would be able to call upon Aiden's particular skills today. Aiden recognized the blacksmith's choices as he sent his will and power flowing through the smithy. Putting those thoughts and the questions they brought up to the side, he concentrated on the task before him. His mind and will focused on his power, on the fire that burned before him and within him. He unbuttoned his shirt, dropping it to the floor behind him. Leaning forward, his mind surged into the fire, swirling with the coals around and through the various metals. Aiden felt them slowly begin to merge together, and he began to shape them, using the connections he knew were there, finding them anew and strengthening the bonds between fire, earth, air, and last, water. There were buckets of water close to the forge where a blade could be thrust so it could cool and harden. The spearheads and swords were swiftly crafted, as they did not require much work or energy from him. Once shaped, the hot metal was immersed into the water trough near the forge, and then lifted out and set to be polished and worked together with the other pieces of each weapon. As Aiden worked through the swords, a single blade caught his attention. The mixture of metals was slightly different from the others, requiring greater heat and precision than the other blades.
"This is why he asked me to come,"
Aiden mused.
"He wanted me to work this blade, shape this blade, and show him what I am capable of. If I am wrong, I shall have to spend a great deal of time working off my debt to the old man. But if I am right..."
Letting the thought hang in his head, Aiden refocused, swiftly but steadily, working the remaining score spearheads and half-dozen sword blades. But all the while, he marveled over the single blade, judging it, observing its reactions, how it absorbed the heat and still thirsted for more. Feeling the perfect moment for the blade, Aiden pulled the metal from the fire, shaped a long, slender blade, and thrust the metal into the water. Steam obscured everything from view, but Aiden could still feel the blade, the fire, and the metal. The blade was thrust back into the flames, the water instantly gone from the intense heat. Any blacksmith would have tanned his hide for forging a blade in this manner, as he had heard many, many times from Azure over the past few years, but those blacksmiths did not have access to the mystical arts. They could not grasp with their wills the fire and metal and shape them perfectly, ensuring that there are no metal flaws in the metal. For an hour, Aiden worked the blade, heating, cooling, and shaping it until the blade felt right in his mind. He could never explain why or when he knew a piece of metal was finished, but his intuition always served him well with any weapon he was asked to craft. Sadly, however, never with farming tools. Thrusting the blade once more into the water, Aiden drew his power from the forge and dispersed the heat slowly into the ground and earth around the village, not allowing his power to get away from him, only allowing his power to fill the earth and diminish over the passing moments. When he finished, he pulled the blade slowly out of the water, examining it with a well-practiced eye. No blemishes, already hardened, straight and lean, a true warrior's weapon. Gently holding the blade in his hand, he turned to the Master Smith and held the blade out for Azure's inspection. A deft hand smacked the blade lightly.
Come on, boy. I know you well enough by this point and what you can craft.
Gently picking the blade up, Azure took it and began crafting the hilt and crossguard.
Thank you. You have done well.
Azure grunted, never taking his hands from his work. Aiden looked around, unable to find more weapons or metal to forge.
What else would you have me do, sir?
That was it, lad. You have done what I required of you, and from what I see here, you've done it well.
Azure nodded somberly.
You might want to get going to see Father Aeongus. I'm sure he has some work for you to do as well.
Puzzled, Aiden bowed and left without a word.
Why would Father Aeongus want to see me so early in the day? I normally see him in the afternoon. Another test? Something else?
Trying to work out the various possible issues that might have arisen since the previous night, Aiden hurried toward the small stone structure in the center of the village that served as a village shrine. Pausing before the statue of the Lord of the Scales, Deliverer of Justice, Darak, Aiden bowed slightly, pressing the tips of his fingers to his lips, then to his forehead, before going inside the small door. The small, dark room offered little comfort to those who entered. Darak had no need for comforts, holding true that justice must be served to those who deserved it. A single stone bench ran along the walls, leaving the floor open to those who wished to offer themselves to the God of Justice, the chief god of the triumvirate that Aiden's people worshipped. Above the door, a small window let light fall upon the petitioner's circle, where Father Angus knelt in prayer. His bowed head was kept perfectly still, while his hands were pressed against his knees, palms upward, a sign that he was opening himself to his deity and had nothing to hide. Aiden shook his head. Knowing how long the aged cleric could take when it came to his prayers, Aiden knelt slightly behind him, bowing his head, and began to meditate, offering his thoughts to the triumvirate as a whole. The scene played itself out in his mind, as clear as possible after these 7 years. A small boy, 7 years old, normally sickly in appearance, yet sharp of mind, lay at death's door on the floor of the temple. A filth-encrusted goblin arrow having been recently removed from his shoulder, while Father Angus prayed and his own father, along with the wise women of the village, rushed around, preparing hot water, clean rags, poultices, and herbs to clean the savage wound. Aiden watched in his meditative state as his younger self ran from the village into the fields, standing alongside the men of the village as a few score goblins rushed at them, screaming their savage cries, promising pain and suffering for all. Hands thrust in front of him, Aiden pulled his power from deep within himself, shaping it with his immense will, and sending darts of fire whistling through the air toward the goblin line. Goblins burst into flame as their moldy leather armor was consumed and the mystical flames greedily devoured pale flesh. A score died in those first few seconds, and another dozen were torn apart from the fire that struck him as it exploded outward, showering the other goblins with the remains of their kin. Ill-prepared for this savage reprisal, the remaining goblins continued charging forward, a few losing arrows from their ram-horn bows, one of which flew towards Aiden with speed, but not before he sent the glowing arc of flame out of his hands that cut the remaining raiders down, burning them to ash. Then the ill-fated arrow struck, the filth and crusted released into a young child's defenseless body. The village spent weeks trying to heal the boy, and eventually he did recover, thanks to the herbs and medicines of the wise women and his father's fanatic obedience to their demands. Many times he ranged from the village that week, fetching the freshest herbs and plants for the women so they might save his son. When he was well enough to talk and understand when he was spoken to, Father Ungus spoke with Aiden and his father, telling them what he had learned from the gods. Aiden had almost died because his body had been too weak to fight the primitive poisons of the goblins. So, he had seen a solution that would help strengthen Aiden's body and allow him to continue with his studies that he, Father Ungus, had oversaw. Each morning, he would assist the villagers in their tasks, as their children did, and each afternoon and evening, he would study in the shrine, gaining skills that few peasants enjoyed. The ability to read, write, work with numbers and figures, learn the history of the kingdom as well as the legends of the gods themselves. In addition, the gods told Father Ungus that there was a resonance to each activity, a sound being a better way to describe it. Each act of magic, each time Aiden used his power, could be heard by others. The more powerful the resonance, the farther away it could be heard. Aiden smiled to himself as he remembered the past 7 years. He was still years away from being a man, but he had the stature of a man, and despite his still tender years, was already well respected in the village. He had learned his lessons well, and through meditating, Aiden believed he had achieved the answer for others not hearing the sound of magic, of his power. Every few months, a pair of magi would travel around hunting for magic users who reportedly operated in the area. They were an older pair, slightly senile from the way they acted, and accompanied by a glowering man in worn chainmail, carrying a massive sword over his shoulders. Aiden had learned to shield his mind from those other magi through conversations he overheard between the magi and Father Ungus. A wall of air and water and fire and earth pulled from within his own mind surrounded him when he used his power, and a blank mind, devoid of thought, acted as a perfect barrier for when he was not using his own power. Learning those lessons had been perilous, but a required part of his education, according to Father Ungus. The village had been aware that Aiden had been trying to learn something and had created distractions, raised concerns, and meddled with the Magi when they came around, asking no questions of Aiden, luckily. It had taken several visits, over nearly 2 years, for Aiden to master what he was trying to learn. And shortly after he had mastered it, the pair had come through one more time, very much unchanged in their appearance and mannerisms. That was the only time they acknowledged Aiden in any way. It seemed to him, as he considered that moment, that during the past visits they had deliberately ignored him, but that one time they acknowledged his presence, wishing the village well and hoping everyone remained prosperous. It had been an odd occurrence, but at that point Aiden's control and ability to shield himself, no matter what else was going on, had become second nature. Aiden's mind returned to the present, shaping his meditation and turning away from his past, and sent his mind soaring on the winds of power he felt within his own self. Father Ungus had encouraged him to spread his faith and worship around. He worshipped Darak, for he was the patron god of the kingdom, but he also worshipped Cherbal, Blade of the Void, Slayer of Darkness, god of warriors and battle, for he helped men keep their bodies strong and their wits sharp for the battles that life produced. Aiden also worshipped Resha, goddess of magic and knowledge, the lady of light and the maiden of thought. Father Ungus had not been able to explain to Aiden why he should worship the entire pantheon instead of just Darak, as the rest of the village did. He had merely said that Aiden should, and whether he did or not was his business. A strange day it had been, but Aiden felt better for it. He felt strangely at peace whenever he offered his prayers to each of the deities that protected his village and kingdom. Deep within his meditation, Aiden smiled to himself, shaping three separate prayers, with his power and will, and as his prayers took shape, he sent them speeding outward into the far reaches of the world. Perhaps one day, his prayers would be answered. He could only hope. And that, my friends, ends chapter one.
Woo!
Yay!
Well done, Paul.
Thank you. Well done to you guys.
Oh, you did the yeoman's work there, my friend.
Yeah, that was 95% of the reading.
Yes.
Yeah, that happens a lot in the first couple chapters.
Yeah. Well, amazing. We went through that entire chapter, and so much to cover, and we're only at about 40 minutes here, so that's excellent that we were able to process it so quickly, and I imagine it will only be shorter once Zach gets done with it. But yes, well done, Paul. Thank you so much for that.
I will say thank you very much to you guys. When you guys, you know, spoke as the characters, it was very, very good to how I was envisioning hearing them. So I did definitely appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, I think I made the farmer a little bit too similar to the blacksmith, but.
Well, I mean,
sorry about that.
I understand like that why some people might find that as an issue, but also it is a very small rural village.
Yeah, that's the only time the farmer speaks, I believe, that I remember.
Yeah, he's not a exceptionally
major character. He's a man of few words.
Yeah, he's a man of few words and not essentially major character.
Right.
Yeah, I think I channeled Oliver a little bit for my character. I hope that was. I figured that was appropriate.
Yeah, that was definitely appropriate. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Publish Me podcast for June 2018. For us, we've got coming up this weekend. This episode will post on June 7th. This weekend, June 9th and 10th, we are at Virginia Comic Con at George Mason University. Ooh. Virginia Comic Con is up here in Fairfax for the first time, and it is packed. More exhibitors than ever before. More people have signed up for tickets than ever before. And the featured guest, Robert Liefeld, the creator of Deadpool, will be on hand. Come on out. This isn't just your run of the mill. Look, it's an old Power Ranger. This is the creator of Deadpool. So come on out. George Mason University, June 9th and 10th. It's a two-day exhibition. We'll be there. James D. King, author of the Hive series, will be with me on Saturday. Sunday, we're going to have a couple other people hanging out with me, possibly even the wonderful Rana Gaynor. We'll see. But come on out. Hop on by. Anybody who stops by the AS21 table will be able to get a special gift, 25% off at the AS21 market. So stop on by. Talk to us, pick up a copy of a book, get one of our new pens, and you'll get the chance to get 25% off at the AS21 market. And plus, we're going to be doing our Cosplay Stories video series again, where we're getting people to show off their costumes, how they put them together, and we'll be sharing those online. And we'll be recording additional pieces for next month's edition of the Publish Me podcast there. So we'll be asking questions of what is your favorite fantasy work? Okay, what got you into being a fantasy fan? What book, what movie, what comic, what television series, what got you interested? So we'll be recording that, and that's what we'll be sharing in chapter 40 of the Publish Me podcast, coming out in July, just after the 4th of July next month. Paul, what do you got coming up this month?
Work. I got
You got a new job, didn't you?
I have 7 jobs at the moment, so
okay.
I just managed to get one fully confirmed. That's why I posted it on my LinkedIn. 2 of my jobs are wrapping up in the next 2 weeks, and they'll start back up in the fall. Other jobs of mine are more picking up. One of my jobs next month, it's a youth sports tournament agency, and they are running a football academy out of Canton, Ohio, at the Hall of Fame, for Football Hall of Fame,
nice.
Where we will be for the entire academy. So I'll be there in Canton, Ohio, in the middle of summer. Wow. I'm looking forward to that, because that sounds wonderful for heat.
Absolutely. Well, Canton's not too bad.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Yeah, but I'm Norwegian. I'm a Viking. Okay. We don't like heat.
All right, you definitely want to stay out of the D.C. area in the summer. We've already had several 80-plus degree days, and
Yeah.
High humidity.
There's only one place the Vikings never invaded. Africa. For damn good reasons. So I'm just going to be working all these jobs. I got that. I'm going to be trying to enter that horror contest in 2 weeks. So that'll be fun. And that's basically it.
All right. And Corey, what do you got?
Well, I will be continuing to work on Paul's book, of course. And I also just finished reading another AS21 book that will be coming out this summer. It's a historical novel centered around the history of baseball through the eyes of one family of superlative players through the generations.
Nice.
Yeah, we're still working on a title on that one, but that's by AS21 creative Tommy Reynolds. So
if you like Major League Baseball, it'll be great.
Cool.
Nice. That sounds fun.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. This has been Chapter 39 of the Publish Me podcast, featuring Chapter 1. It's going to have a real weird name when it comes up, because it will be Chapter 39, : Chapter 1.
That's true.
I like confusing people. It works.
Yes. But hopefully that confusion will breed interest, and people will listen, and they will get their first taste of the world of Magi, and they'll want more.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, so remember, you can find us on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and Spotify. Then if you want to reach out to us, we're at facebook.com/publishpodcast, on Twitter @publishpodcast, or email publishpodcast@as21.com. For AS21 Media, I am Keith F. Shelton.
I am Corey Parker.
And as always, I am Paul Dickinson Russell. Remember, everyone, where there are thoughts and ideas, there are stories. We'll see you next month.
Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?